We continue today with lesson number 69 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We are in the 17th perek. Today we will learn the 12th and 13th Mishnah. But before we proceed with Mishnah Yud Beis, Mishnah 12, I may not have been clear enough in explaining the position of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka in yesterday's Mishnah, in Mishnah Yud Aleph, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka establishes, and I mentioned that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and not like Rabbi Shimon. How does it work out? Kikar befundion me arbo'o so'in besela. So, pundion is a value of a coin. Sela is a value of a coin. A sa'a is a measure of volume of wheat, or whatever, in this case, wheat. So, a sa'a is equal to 6 kabin. 4 sa'a is 4 times 6 kabin is 24 kabin. So when Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is speaking about a quantity of wheat, the size of arbo'o so'in, he is talking about 24 kabin. A sela is equal to 48 pinyonim. When 4 sa'a or 24 kabin are selling for a sela or 48 pinyonim, so each kav, there's 24 kabin, and 24 kabin costs 48 pinyonim, so each kav costs 2 pidyonim. And a half of a kav is equal to 1 pidyon. If 2 pidyonim pay for 1 kav, so 1 pidyon pays for 1 half of a kav. So when Yochanan ben Broka says kikar befundyon, he's talking about a kikar, a loaf of bread which contains a half a kav of wheat. That is the size of the kikar, which constitutes a seuda for the purposes of Eruv Tavshilin. Kikar, which is purchased for a punyan, which is equal to a half a kav, that which is shear of approximately 12 beitzim, that is the amount of bread which for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is the minimum necessary for Eruv Techumen. However, the Gemara in Meseches Erevin, Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis, explains that we have to subtract from this one half, because the storekeeper, in other words, the grocer or baker, takes for his costs the costs of the grinding and the baking, etc. So that a kikar, which is bought for a punjon, turns out to be not 12 beitzim, but only 6 beitzim. So 6 beitzim worth, 6 eggs, volume of eggs of wheat, constituting a loaf of bread, that is considered the 2 seudos for Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and that is the halacha. So that's yesterday's Mishnah, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Hopefully I explained it a little better than I did yesterday. But now let's move on to Mishnah Yud Beis. V'yesha omnu b'mido gasa. There are certain examples where the Chachamim required the large version of the measure in question. So one example is Melo Sarvod Rokov. A sarvod is a large ladle or spoon which measures a certain volume, the volume of that spoon. When one spoons up the decayed remains of a corpse, for those decayed remains are called rokov, rotten, rotted remains of a corpse, human corpse. If one has this tarva, these ladles, this large ladles amount of rekev, of mold or decayed dead human flesh, then it is metame ba'ohel. The size of the tarvad or ladle or spoon in question is kimelo tarvad gadol shel rofim. It's the large ladle which doctors, physicians use, because doctors have their chemicals, their medicines, and they need these large spoons or large ladles to extract, to contain, or to move around their samimonim, their medicines and powders and salves and whatnot. So it's a large spoon. It's the size of a melochaf naim, of two hands full of the average human being. So this is one example, the melo tarvad rokov, which the Chachamim chose to measure it by the large tarvod, large version of the tarvod measure. Ugris binigoim, ugris negoim, kigris hakilki. A gris is a kind of a small bean, and for a nega, a skin nega, to be metame, to be considered a nega for tumor, for the tzaras nega, the gris has to be the large size gris, which is the gris which comes from Kilki, Kilikia, which is a country somewhere in Asia Minor. So the gris that grew there, it's a large gris, that's the size which when a nega is large enough to be mitame. Also, ha'ochel biyom ha'kipurim kikhoseves hagasa. If a person eats solid food on Yom Kippur, the size of the large koseves, remember we're giving the large version of these various measures. A koseves is a date, a large date. So if you eat that quantity of food, which is a large, relatively large amount, kamoha uchegarinisa, you eat the size of food which is equal to this large date and its pit, which is a little bit less than the size of an egg, then he has violated the prohibition against eating food, solid food, on Yom Kippur. V'nodos yayin v'shemen, if a person has a leather pouch which contains a wine or oil, and they've become tome, and now they've been punctured, what size is the hole? What size does the hole need to be in order to render these nodos tohor? It is the size of kefika gedola shelohen. Some do not have the girsa of shelohen, but rather, the Bartanura being one of them, he explains that the pika is a component of the spinning wheel, which is upon which the thread winds itself, and it's kind of like a round disc, quite large, relatively speaking. So these nodos do not become tohor if they are tome, unless there's a hole in them the size of a pika gadola, a large disc from the spinning wheel. Continuing, umaor, if there's a window between two rooms and there is a corpse in one room, so if there's a solid wall between the two rooms, so the corpse is not considered, the tumor from the corpse does not spread, so to speak, into the other room through a wall. But if there's a window in the wall between the two rooms, well, it depends, as we will see. If the window was shelo naaso bide odom, the window between the two rooms, in the wall between the two rooms, in one room there's a mace, in the other room there are kelim. So the shiuro, the size of the hole, which is mevi tuma, which conducts or brings, transfers tuma from the ohel hamace, from the room in which the corpse lies, into the adjacent room, is kemole Egrof Godol. It has to be the size of a large fist. Whose large fist? Zeho Egrofo Shel Ben Botiach. It has to be the fist of a boxer or a wrestler, ancient times, whose name was Ben Botiach, who had a very large fist. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Yeshno Kirosh Godol Shel Odom. There are some fists that are the size of a human head, really big fists. So unless the fist is, the hole is the size of a big fist, it does not conduct tumah from one room to the other. That's in the case of a hole which was not made by human intervention, but rather water fashioned the hole, or insects ate into the wall and made the hole. Then we require the hole to be the large size hole of the Egrof Godol. However, if the hole was fashioned by humans, so the hole was made intentionally by human beings as a window or a passageway from one room to the other, then shiuro, then the size of the hole which is necessary in order to conduct the tumah from the ohel hameis into the other room is kimlo makdeach gadol shel lishka, the size of the large drill which was used in the lishka, in the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, to make holes. So this was large, but nowhere near as large as the big fist. Shehu kepunyon ha'italki, this makdeach gadol, this large drill, was the size of a certain Italian coin. Uchesela ha'nironis, or it was the same size as a sella coin of Nero, the Caesar's treasury. Uchimlo nekev sheba ol, or another example is the hole, the size of the hole which is in the yoke of, which is placed upon an animal. All of these, the makdeach, the punyon italki, the selan ironis, and the nekev sheba ol, are all the same size. But in some places they were familiar with the sella, in some places they were familiar with the drill, etc. So we give various ways of illustrating the size of the hole. But whatever the size of the hole in the case of Nase Bidei Adam is smaller than the large fist, which was the size necessary to conduct tumah in the case when it was not made by humans. Shelo Nase Bidei Adam. And the reason being that a window made by humans is much more chashuv. It was made intentionally, and therefore even a smaller hole conducts tumah from one room to the other. That's Mishnah Yud Beis. Continuing now to Mishnah Yud Gimel. Kol Shebayom Tohor. Anyone who fashions a vessel out of the hide of a fish, let's say, the skin of a fish, or the bones of sea creatures, or made of material, coral, moss, seaweed, things which grow in the sea, are not mekabel tumah. What is mekabel tumah, as the pasuk says in Parsha Shmini, is o beged o or. It's got to be cloth or hide of an animal. And the Gemara says in various places, just like cloth, fabric, cotton, etc., linen, ultimately comes from something which grows on the earth, a plant, or it's wool, so it comes from an animal which basically lives on dry land. Then, or two, skin, it's only if it grew on land, the skin, the hide of an animal, of a non-sea animal, of a land animal, is mekabel tumah, but not a sea animal like a fish, etc. Chutz mikelev hamayim, except for the dog of the sea, which would seem possibly to be a seal or a walrus or those kind of creatures. If a person makes a cloth or beged or whatever out of the hide or bones of seals, they are mekabel tumah. Why? Mipnei shehu boreach liyabosha. Because a seal, when it's fleeing from the hunter who's trying to capture it in the ocean, it flees onto dry land, and that's how he escapes the fellow in the boat trying to catch him. Divi Rabbi Akiva, so holds Rabbi Akiva. And the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Ha'osa kelim min ha'godel bayom v'chiber lohem min ha'godel ba'oretz. If a person fashions a kli out of something which does grow in the sea, it's a shark skin vessel of some sort, but it's connected, it's sewn together by threads, woolen threads, or linen threads, or cotton threads, which are mekabel tumo. Afilu chut, afilu meshicha. Even if the component of the land derived from a land source, as opposed to a sea source, is just a thread or a string holding it all together. Davar shehu mekabel tumo. If it is attached in such a way that if both the object and the strings would both land derived from land, touching one would render the whole thing tameh, then if the basic components of the vessel is from Godel Bayam, from a sea creature, but it is held together by wool, let's say, or linen, which come from the land, then it is Mekabel Tumah. Tomeh, it is Mekabel Tumah. So we have completed Mishnayos 12 and 13. In the process, by the way, we reviewed a bit of Mishnah 11. We finished 12 and 13 and have completed lesson number 69.